Hey, welcome back to the podcast, folks. Happy New Year. 2022 is right here, and we're going to make a New Year's resolution. I am 0-for-20-plus on New Year's resolutions in my life. Hopefully, this is the one that sticks. We're trying to get more episodes to you guys. That's the one thing that people always say. Hey, your podcast's kind of cool, but I always got to wait a couple weeks before I get the next one. That's a combination of myself and the team. We got a lot of stuff going on outside of the pod. And also, we've recorded a couple of podcasts that I've listened back to, and I was like, yeah, no, that's not necessarily A+. I don't want to put it out there. That's not to say that every episode we put out, I think, is A+. Some of it is A-, some of it is A. You guys might think it's, like, total garbage, but our internal standards are like, yeah, no, that's good enough to publish, and some of it isn't, and we completely scrap it, never to be heard from or heard again. So we're trying not to be too stingy with episodes, and I am promising to myself and to you guys that there'll be more of these. This is a mailbag episode. We sent out an Instagram sticker for you guys to send out questions great as usual, and hopefully this will be the first of weekly episodes on the Call to Arms podcast. Let's get right down to it. The pod, as always, is produced and made possible by the Amigo, Toby from HR, original art by Alan Martin. Original theme music is Tropical Vikings by Careless Music Manila. My name is Nico Ramos. This is a mailbag edition of a Call to Arms podcast.
Something going on around the island. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing. I'm finna conquer, yeah. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava, yeah. Something going on around the islands, straight fire when we vibe.
All right, pretty mixed bag of questions. We gave out no direction whatsoever as to what kind of questions we wanted to get from you guys. It's a litmus test, I guess, of what people expect from the pod. And, you know, sure enough, this is pretty much the best questions that we got. A couple of them were similar, so we just combined them in a way. But it pretty much covers anything and everything that the pod touches. So that's a pleasant surprise. Let's start out with basketball. Here's the first question. Densanity on Instagram asks, do the Lakers regret not signing DeMar DeRozan? There were a couple of Lakers-centric questions as well, like, what should they do at the trade deadline? Is there anyone from the buyout market that they could, you know, pick up and help the team? There was a question phrased differently, asked multiple times, like, should we give up on the Lakers season, like, this year? Have I given up on the Lakers season? I don't necessarily think I was ever kind of like, banner number 18, here we go, when the season started and the construction of the team was put together. So championship, not really in the expectations for me entering. I'm not saying that to, you know, be cool or to put down the team that I root for. I would love for them to somehow, some way turn it around. And there are, you know, certain reasons to hope. Anthony Davis has been out significant amount of time. Once he comes back, you can only assume they'll get better. LeBron James has been playing at an absolutely just insane level. I don't think Russell Westbrook is as bad as people make him out to be. I think it's just, you know, not the best combination. I don't think it's just not the greatest fit in terms of what these three key players want, need. And Anthony Davis' outside shot from the mid-range going out to the three has been career low numbers this year when he was healthy. That, and you know, you combine the construction of the rest of the team where the guys on the fringes, I say we like I'm on the Laker organization, but you know, you just expect a little too much from, right? Like, Malik Monk's gonna give you 21 game, gonna give you an 0 for the next game. That's not Malik Monk's fault, right? Avery Bradley was cut from the Warriors, and we're expecting him to be like the primary 3-and-D guy. Ariza came back. That didn't necessarily move the needle too much. At the start of the season, everyone was saying, hey, once THT comes back, everything's going to be better. He came back. Not that much of an improvement, if it even was one. And now we're really down to Kendrick Nunn, right? People are like, oh, as soon as Kendrick Nunn comes back, really going to see this rotation. I think the Lakers severely miss KCP, Alex Caruso, guys like that who are just ball hawks on defense, and, you know, could have KCP, most especially, you know, much more reliable three-point shooter. I don't think the outside threat is there. You kind of have to swap defense for offense a whole lot of the time. You need offense, you go to Carmelo. You need defense, then you throw Ariza and or Avery Bradley in there, but you can't necessarily have both. And I think, you know, with the guys that they lost, even Kuzma, who, you know, as a rebounder and as a cutter was in retrospect a great fit next to LeBron and Anthony Davis, the Lakers were just able to kind of put those pieces together with the previous lineup and aren't able to do that this year. So 500 team as of right now. LeBron is rolling. How long can you keep that going? I don't doubt LeBron. I've learned that lesson. Once Anthony Davis comes back, we'll get a real true test. But the top of the West is really hard. The top of the West is going to be really, really tough in that first round. And if the Lakers make it out of it, I will be pleasantly surprised. But first round exit, wouldn't be shocked. Do they regret not signing DeMar DeRozan? I think the Lakers front office had a lot of things that they're looking back on and they're hoping they did differently. But, you know, that's life in the NBA. Hozwa on Instagram says, what's your take on NBA commentators making defamatory or racist remarks? Is it just heat of the moment? I don't want to speak on my personal experience in comparison to an NBA commentator's experience, because obviously it's just different levels of the stratosphere. I do UAAP games. I've had experience doing PBA games, right? But, you know, never really at the NBA level. That being said, some of it is just downright rude. Some of it is just inexplicably unnecessary, offensive. And I don't think that this is something new. I think that the Instagram and Twitter culture of the NBA in 2021 is exposing a lot of these guys, but a lot of the local broadcasts, I think that, you know, these instances, whether it was with Kevin Porter Jr. or with the Denver Nugget game a couple of weeks ago with Campazzo, I think that these guys, these dudes who are saying these things, I think this is who they are. I don't think they're isolated incidents. I think this is who they are. This is how they talk. This is what they think of particular NBA players, particular non-white NBA players, if you know, you really want to be specific. And before, you know, they were getting away with it, but not now. Not with League Pass, not with everyone recording games, and not with everyone posting it. So, tells you a lot. Tells you a lot about who they are and about the kind of accountability, I guess, that's required and that should be required out of someone who has that position, because inexplicable. There's just no excuse for it. It's not heat of the moment stuff. No, absolutely not. Heat of the moment is someone just dropping, you know, like, oh, crap, like, or, you know, like, DeRozan for three for the win again. Shit. Like, that's heat of the moment. But the Campazzo statement, and most definitely the Kevin Porter Jr. statement, just downright disrespectful. And it's just ugly. It's just ugly. So, yeah. Again, I don't necessarily want to comment about the employment of other people. But if those guys get fired, then, you know, I would sleep soundly at night. One more NBA question. Kiahi Venus. Am I saying that right? Probably not. Asks, have we seen the peak of Luka's offensive game? How will he look like in his prime? The pessimist would say hopefully a little slimmer. But the age of Luka, I think, is something that's worth considering. We are by no stretch of the imagination seeing what his peak is in terms of what his potential is and in terms of what is, you know, a safe certainty to bet on that he will only improve as he gets better. Is he in incredible shape this season? No. I think he was in better shape probably his first two seasons. But that's part of it, right? I mean, and that happens to chunky dudes in the NBA, especially chunky guys who come in especially young. And with circumstances surrounding this season and the off season, and you know the amount of run that he had, even in Olympic play and international play. I'm not saying I'm giving Luka a pass for not being in great, incredible shape, but you know, I'm just saying once guys start to reach peak age, 25, 26, 27, you really see a maturity to their game, a maturity to how they handle their bodies, how they train in the offseason, how they preserve themselves, how they recover. This happens time and time and time again in the NBA. And just because there are guys who figure it out a little quicker than other guys, that doesn't mean it's outside the realm of expectation for what is expected to happen. And that's guys like Luka Doncic will figure out the nutrition part of, you know, being a professional athlete a couple of years in, 4, 5, 6 years into, you know, into their careers. That being said, the team that's built around him isn't necessarily great as well, but just in terms of his personal growth, Luke is going to be incredible. He's, barring injury, he's going to go down as, you know, one of the best players of this generation. And, you know, that's about as safe of a bet as, you know, as you could make, right? I mean, this isn't a Zion Williamson situation where you kind of look at it. I saw a stat the other day and that said, like, through their first three seasons in the NBA, Zion has played, what was it, almost as much or just a little bit more games than Greg Oden? And that's a big question right there, just in terms of body type, ability to stay on the floor, and, you know, is he, it just in terms of injuries and availability, is he always going to be this way? So I'm much more kind of unsure about the Zion question than I am about the Luka question. But then again, it's not like that's anything that's breaking news. I think that that's something we can all pretty much agree on. All right, next question. I try to go through this as quick as I can because the amigo is going to be upset at me if I'm by myself on a podcast and I still record a 90-minute podcast. So hopefully this is a quickie. Kiefer Ravina, not Ravenna, Kiefer Ravina asks, what's your most wholesome moment or interaction with a known personality? I've been super blessed, obviously, with work opportunities to have been around, you know, like A-list famous people, whether it's athletes or in the entertainment business, both local and international, right? I've told the story back on the Joe Coy episode. If you're new to the podcast, just scroll down to the archives and find that conversation we had with Joe Coy, where I ran into him at the airport with his kid, with Joe, his son, and just the nicest person. This is the nicest person. Figured out I was Filipino. We talked for a little bit. We were both at Shake Shack at the airport in New York, just waiting for our burgers. And just super nice, right? It wasn't a work thing. It wasn't a set interview or anything like that. That was just a guy going about his day at the airport, being extremely nice to like a perfect stranger. What you see on social media when you see him and you're like, he seems like a good hang. He seems like a really pretty down-to-earth guy for someone world famous. From my interaction with him, it definitely felfelt like that was legitimate. Like, that's who he is. And if you listen to the episode we have with Joe, we purposely didn't cut out this bit where we were being cut off because there are other people on the call. It was a junket call, you know, put together by friends from Netflix. There were like 15, 20 other people in line waiting to talk to him virtually. And Joe, you can hear him on the episodes. Joe was saying, no, wait. I want to talk to this guy a little bit more. And then he sent the merch. It was a couple years late. No, I'm just kidding, Joe. But yeah, no, nicest, most wholesome interaction I've ever had with a known personality outside of a, you know, like set interview. Joe Coy, number one with a bullet. Vin Diesel, but that was during an interview. I was the last one. They were here in the Philippines for the premiere of one of the Fast movies. I don't even remember which one anymore, but they're all incredible. And it was a really, really long day for him of interviews, and I was the last one to interview him. And he thought he was done. He started playing music really, really loudly in the interview room, and he was getting ready to get up. And then I walk in, and they had to tell him that, you know, there was another interview. So I walk in and kind of like as a as a joke, because, you know, they turned off the music, and then they told him, you know, hey, Vin, you got another one. And he was like, oh, okay, thought I was done. He was really tired. So I walk in, and just like out of sheer nerves, like the first thing I said was, hey, who turned off the music? And he really dug that. He thought that was really funny. And they turned the music on again. It was Started From the Bottom by Drake that he was really vibing out to. And for like, I think 5 minutes straight, he just played the music again, put it up really, really high. And he was rapping along to it, like bar for bar, with his arm around me. He had an alcoholic beverage. And, you know, he was like, oh, no, you're a cool guy. Oh, yeah, let's play the music. He was rapping along to Drake. He was in a tank top, of course. But that was pretty wholesome, too. I'll never forget it. Jody Andreo says, I want to be a writer or commentator about hoops, kicks, or F1. How do I do it? Start a podcast. It's a 2021 route to how you want to... It's a 2021 version of a blog, which is what was the advice for me when I was starting out. Everyone was like, hey, start a blog. You want to be a writer? Start a blog. And then a few years ago, I was like, hey, you want to be like a talking head? You want to be a commentator? You want to, you know, like make money off of making, you know, content around sports or whatever? Like start a vlog. Come up with a YouTube channel or whatever. You can do that too, but start a podcast. I'm really excited because for everyone who's listening to this, who does have a podcast and you guys are trying to figure out the whole scene, trying to make it into, making this your full-time or maybe a significant part-time profession, I want to do a Zoom call with just other people who are listeners of this podcast but have their own podcasts. And I just want to kind of virtually pass the mic around to each and every one of you guys and, you know, interact with you as if we were on your podcast. So it's kind of like this tasting menu of podcasts. Like you listen to a Call to Arms pod, but it's really five or six or seven of other, you know, listeners, a lot of them young people who have their own podcasts and are starting out and trying to figure out the whole craft of it. And I want to kind of like really take part in what your podcast is going to be like. So, you know, we'll take turns. All right, you know, person two, it's now your turn to host the next, you know, 5 minutes of this. Give me a taste of what your podcast is going to be like. I'll engage with you and then we'll pass it on to the next guy. And, you know, kind of gives people this opportunity to maybe discover a couple more similar podcasts to this. I'd love to do that. We should do that very, very soon. If you're listening to this and you're interested in that, let me know. Shoot us a DM. It's at Call to Arms Pod on Instagram. The amigo, Toby from HR, will reach out to you, or I will reach out to you. We'll put it together. Should be fun. Nga plus JJJ. The last 3 seconds of me trying to pronounce that name, by the way, podcasting gold. Question, what's your take on the Godfather movies? Love them. Love them. Love both of them. I love both Godfather movies. I know there's a third one. I'm not sure if I love the third one, but one I love, two I love even more, obviously. Greatest sequel in the history of sequels. Three, I think if it was a movie on its own, it would be above average, but because they did the money grab thing, right? After like, what, 15, 20 years, and they went back to the well and did a third Godfather movie, the expectation by then were like, oh, this has to be incredible. And outside from like, a gifable moment of Pacino in the kitchen saying, you know, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. I don't think there's necessarily anything that has lasted in the cultural consciousness from Godfather 3. Still, top tier cinema. Godfather 1, definitely Godfather 2. Coach K, Kenneth Sison, says, what's your dream cast of actors and what genre? I want to make a comedy because I don't think people make comedies anymore, at least not the way that they used to. It's hard. I mean, speaking just like in the Hollywood sense, right? It's hard to kind of, I think, put together a comedy film these days and get the funding for it and have it premiere, you know, in cinemas. And it's not a Netflix thing. Nothing wrong with it being a streamer, right? But just getting getting big name actors to sign on to do a comedy for theatrical release for, you know, $40, $50, $90 million budget, I think is the big holes in movie going these days, right? Like there's a super blockbuster, right? There's your Marvel movies, massive summer blockbuster hits, franchise movies that cost a gajillion dollars on one side of the spectrum, and on a complete other side of the spectrum, just like indie movies that these actors do for the love of it, for the art of it. And then the middle tier, mid-range movie, especially as a comedy, I think is tough to find. What cast? I'll just get all the Apatow guys, like, all together. Sandler, Jonah, Seth Rogen, you know, just, I don't care what the story is. I don't care if it's a spin-off of whatever, but, you know, get Paul Rudd in there. Just all the classic Apatow guys, bring them back together, and yeah, maybe it's a 40-year-old virgin sequel. Maybe it's, this is 40, 10 years later, and Paul Rudd's 50, but he looks like he's 28. I don't care what it is, but that would be my dream. June _ Malonan says, how will you measure the success of a person? I didn't arrange these questions properly. This is my fault. I just went from talking about wanting a 40-year-old virgin sequel or a This Is 40 sequel, and then now I have to answer, how do you measure the success of a person? That's tough, right? Because there's money, there's status, there's your job title, there's how pleased you are with your family and your home situation and things like that. But a successful person always has been to me someone who understands where they are and where they're not in their journey. And that's always so, so difficult, right? Because a lot of the time, it's either we don't give ourselves enough credit and we keep kicking ourselves thinking, you know, why isn't it working out for me? Why can't I go up another level? Why can't I ascend like everybody else? And you're not giving yourself enough credit when really, if you compare yourself to a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you've actually made, you know, a steady increase and you actually have a good stride about you. And the flip side is sometimes we think, we've made it. Sometimes, you know, we think we're the business, like, this is it, I'm the best. When really there's still so much growth to be made. And part of that growth is acknowledging where you are and where you're not. And I think that's true success. Because once you're able to accurately gauge your place, whether it's in your industry, in your life, in your job, in your career, in your family life, and you know, you're able to identify what you're good at, what you should work on, I think that's great success. And I think that gives you a sense of contentment, a sense of understanding, and a sense of ease and peace about where you are. So there you go. Again, I didn't arrange these questions properly. There's absolutely no flow to this. I just put all the NBA questions together at the top and I was like, yeah, this seems good enough. I'll read everything else at random. Big mistake. Like Anicolo asks, what's the best IKEA budol from your wife? Things all over the place. I'm not with the amigo. Toby is not with me as I record this. I'm recording this on my own. This is why it's going nowhere fast. My wife, who is now known as a notorious serial IKEA shopper. The doorbell rang earlier today, and there was a giant truck outside of her house, and they were like, "Sir, IKEA, Mom Rebecca." And she had me assemble a new full-length mirror, which looks great, super stable. It's the third full-length mirror we have in our home. The first two full-length mirrors are stacked on top of each other against a wall in a room that we don't use because we don't like them. My wife doesn't like them anymore. They're not baby safe. They're not the super safe. They're one of those artsy ones that you kind of just lean against the wall. So those have been decommissioned. So this is our third full-length mirror in the home. And after I put it together, I asked her, where should I put it? And she goes, I don't know yet. But it does look great. very, very stable and very fairly priced. So that's, I'm not sure if that's the best, but that's the most recent IKEA Boodle from my wife. Daniel is asking, what's the biggest thing you feel like you're missing out on being a new father? I'm not missing out on it because I'm a new dad. I don't think there's anything necessarily that I'm missing out on because of my fatherhood that I actually want to do even. But I am feeling that I'm missing out on things that I want to do with my son, which I think is a common thing that, you know, like we're all feeling, right? Like can't go out, can't see anybody, you know, stuck at home. It's those things, right? Like I want to be able to go to the park with my kid. There's a park near where I live, thankfully. I want to be able to go to the mall with my kid. I want to be able to take him around. I want to be able to see family and friends, and have them see my son. But you know, that's not a new father thing. That's an everybody in a pandemic type of thing. But when you have a baby and when you have loved ones that you haven't seen in a while, it hits a little different, and you know, it really becomes a little bit more of a, it really becomes more of a hassle. It really becomes more of something that you realize at a pretty fundamental level. You're like, oh, damn, you know, wish I could see this person. Wish I could hang out with this person. Wish I could see my family. But it is what it is. Got to stay safe. Everyone who's listening, make sure you're safe. Stay at home. Get boosted. All the necessaries, right? Anton Enrico is asking, what's the first non-kid show or movie or franchise that you're introducing to Tyler? I have a Back to the Future tattoo on my arm, which I'm not going to say I regret. It's just that I could have picked a better looking tattoo because I had a really talented artist do my tattoo. Shout out to the late Ricky Santana who did my tattoo on my arm of Back to the Future. And he was like, are you sure that's what you want? You know, like, you have me. I'm one of the best tattoo artists, like, ever. And I'm like, yeah, no, I want the arrow from Back to the Future. And he did it. And he did it exactly how I wanted it. I just should have wanted something different. But it's probably that. It's probably Back to the Future. Love the movie. Love the movie. Plus, it's more or less kid-friendly. More or less. The general plot of it is kid-friendly, so I think Tyler can see that as soon as he understands time, the space-time continuum. Sabalvar Double X is asking, if you could keep one pair of shoes in your life, what would that be? It's a toss-up between the Kobe 5 custom dress shoes that my friend RG Skills made for me that I wore to the wedding, or the Kobe 11 Fade to Blacks that Kobe Bryant signed when I met him. Obviously, both have tremendous sentimental value for me. If just we're talking about shoes that I really, really am a fan of, just like, you know, visually, either the Air Jordan 1 Bred or the Nike Air Yeezy 2, which I don't have. I have the 1 Bred. I have the Jordan 1 Bred. The Nike Air Yeezy 2, I don't have it, but I will have it in a strange way. Watch out for that one. I'm working on something. In terms of things that we had worked on, it's probably either the first LeBron Titan collab or the Jordan 23 Titan collab. I know you asked for one, so if I'm just going to go with just really one sneaker, it's hard to top the one that has Kobe's signature on it. So I'll keep that one. Tina Castillo has another sneaker question. Oh, look at that. I lucked out. I actually arranged this pretty nicely. It's completely random. What do you think of the TikTok trend of sneakers being dipped in different solutions or being color bombed? So if, for those who aren't familiar, people on TikTok are dipping their shoes in coffee, in Kool-Aid, in orange juice, or they're throwing these color smoke bombs into a plastic canister with the shoes and then sealing it and then opening it a few hours later and then, you know, your triple white Air Force Ones are now like this wild color. I'm a huge, massive fan. I've, ever since I can remember, been either writing on my sneakers with Sharpie, trying to paint them, trying to customize them, make them, you know, unique in some sort of way. I'm terrible at them because I'm not necessarily I'm not an artist. I'm not a visual artist by no stretch of the imagination. But for the people who are really good at it, then, you know, I encourage you. Go for it. My favorite, one of my favorite pairs of shoes, and probably my most used shoe to this day, is a pair of SB Dunk Lows that the art director of this podcast, Alan Martin, tie-dyed at home. And I love it. I love it. It's just, he did a killer job at it. So yeah, I mean, if I had the skill and the precision for it, I'd be dipping my shoes in coffee too. So yeah, big supporter of just do what you want to do with your sneakers. Destroy them if you want, but you know, at least try and make them a little different. Tori Teriyaki Don is asking, what are your expectations for the last season of Peaky Blinders? And she's expecting a pilot program for the. I should get my wife and one of my best friends in the world, Mo Twister, who are the two. They're the two people who I know are bigger Peaky Blinder fans than I am, and I'm a massive Peaky Blinders fan, but I have nothing but huge, massive expectations for the show. Obviously, the answering of the question of how they manage the Polly Gray situation with her, you know, tragically passing away is going to be very, very interesting to answer. But yeah, I can't wait for the final season. I can't wait to hear the music again. I know that Alfie is back. And yeah, it's been one of the all-time great shows that we've had in this generation of TV, and it has a chance to go down as a Mount Rushmore, one of the GOAT TV shows ever, if they're able to land this final season well, which, as we all know, easier said than done, Game of Thrones. So good luck to the Blinders, and I can't wait to get the final season. Last two questions, and I promise I'm out of here. Who is the Kendall Roy of the NBA, and why is it Ben Simmons? That's from McCoy G. That's a great question. It is Ben, isn't it? It is Ben. I was doing this interview for nba.com.ph. They had interviewed me a couple of times. If you guys consume their content, which you absolutely should, there's great people working on there. They had me on, you know, giving like gifts, Christmas gifts to NBA players or teams or whatever. And I did this whole thing with Ben Simmons and, you know, wondering if Adele, because Adele is dating Rich Paul, Ben Simmons' agent, is giving Ben Simmons advice. And I went on this long back and forth of like using a British accent for Adele and answering in Ben Simmons' almost gone Australian accent. And I was really, really proud of it. Much like how I'm really, really proud of all the stuff that I say on the NBA, you know, for the NBA website interviews. And if you watch any of the, like, they call it Bente Uno, their show. If you watch any of those episodes that I'm in, I always talk for like 3 seconds and then they cut it. Because that's how long it takes for me to say something that's, I think, a little off color for something that's NBA branded. But if you watch the Bente Uno episodes, it's hilarious. Like, I say like 4 words and then it's abruptly cut. And I feel so bad for whoever's editing the show. I'm sorry. I really, really am. But I want to say my Ben Simmons Adele thing, that was really good stuff. I can't believe they didn't use it. I'm not going to spoil it on here because it was a video thing. And I really felt like I nailed the accents. Damn. Anyway. Yeah. Watch Bente Uno on NBA.com.ph. And NBA, yeah. I'm glad and flattered to still be on your roster of analysts. Although, not sure how long that's going to last. You guys might fire me yet. Last question, and this is our question of the day. This one gets the prize. We have a whole bunch of, speaking of the NBA, we have a whole bunch of NBA goodies for you, actually, including some Funko Pops, and it's a whole care package that I'm sending your way because I promise that the best question gets a prize. Angelo De Jesus said, recast Succession with Pinoy actors, and this is right up. If you said recast Succession with Pinoy basketball players, it would be the perfect encapsulation of what this podcast is about. But recasting them with Pinoy actors is something I put a lot of thought in. As you guys know, and probably could tell 30 plus minutes into this, I just kind of like answered all the questions just like without necessarily any prep or thinking of it. But this one I really put some thought into and I'm proud of it. I came up with two rosters and I'm only casting family here, right? I'm only casting Logan, Kendall, Shiv, Roman Roy, Connor Roy, and then Greg and Tom as the two non-siblings. So it's just the dad, the kids, Greg and Tom. Those are all the people I'm casting. I have a 90s/early 2000s version of this that I think is actually better than the cast that I would put together if they were going to make Binoy Succession today. And I'm not sure. Okay, so I'll do the 90s one first. And I feel really, really good about this. Like, I feel really great about this roster, right? The late, great Eddie Garcia, obviously, as Logan Roy. I mean, that is just, that's right out of central casting. That's like a perfect fit, right? Eddie Garcia, he's got the range for it. He has the age. He has the look. He can pull off the, you know, the gruff, nasty head of the family. But at the same time, if, you know, he needs to be a little cunning. He needs to be a little, you know, warm. He can do it. Like, Eddie Garcia, top notch. Him as Logan Roy, easy, easy, right? My next easy pick, Shiv, give that to Maricel Soriano. Like, give me like peak 90s Maricel Soriano as Shiv. I think she's great at it. I think she'd be great at it. And then Greg, cousin Greg. I need the height for cousin Greg. I need the comedic timing. So I want to go Joey Marquez on Greg. Caught you off guard there, didn't I? Right. But I need the height. I need the height. I need just like the big, tall, lanky, awkward Joey Marquez as Greg. He proved on the job he could be a great, tremendous, dramatic actor. Plus the comedy still there. So he's great, right? Which brings us to the male siblings plus Tom, which is Kendall, Roman, Connor, and Tom, right? And this is where I started to get really, really excited about it, right? Because Connor, I'm gonna give it to Christopher De Leon, right? Christopher De Leon as Connor. You can see it. You can squint your eyes and you can kind of see it, right? He can do that, right? A little touch of the self-deprecating comedy. I think Christopher De Leon could pull it off, right? Kendall, Roman, and Tom, you can kind of shuffle these three guys up, and I think all three of them could do it. But I finally landed on this order. Richard Gomez as Kendall Roy. That's going to mean a lot of goma on your TV screens. But like 90s goma, there's not a lot of guys you would want a whole lot of TV time of more than 90s Richard Gomez. He'd be great. I'm really excited about Aga Mulak as Roman, because there's that one movie where Aga Mulak's a serial killer and he really creeped me out. And I think that there's kind of like that wiry kind of sleaze side to him that I think he could pull off to be Roman. And then Edu Manzano as Tom. And again, as I said, you could shuffle these three guys up onto those three roles and it'd be great. But Goma as Kendall, Aga Mulak as Roman, which I'm excited for, and Edu Manzano as Tom. That's my 90s. That's my 90s version of Pinoy Succession. My 2021 Pinoy Succession, I kind of struggled with a little bit. And as you listen to this, you're going to see it's not, probably not as great. Just right off the top, I'm not sure if Joel Torre is old enough to be Logan. I'm really not sure. You might probably have to go Dante Rivero on there. But if they could age up Joel Torre a little bit, he'd be good. Give me Jericho Rosales as Kendall. Just, I need the acting range. And I think Echo, while he still looks, because of baby face, right? But I think he could pull off kind of like acting a little older than what he is. I'm excited for Angelica Panganiban as Shiv. I think that'd be great. Oh, I think she'd be a great Shiv. I think she'd be tremendous as Shiv. Roman, I'm not sure which is better, because Baron Geisler obviously has a dark side of Roman locked in, but also I think John Lloyd has the range for it, because John Lloyd could act anything, right? So John Lloyd as Roman, that's right there for us. But Baron is my number two. Connor, my decision to cast this guy is because Connor always thinks so highly of himself when he's really not all that, plus the political aspirations. And he always just gets beat up on every single scene that he's in. He's just like kind of like the laughing stock. He just kind of gets just laughed out of the room and is the most ridiculous, most pathetic character pretty much on the show. Give me Robin Padilla for that, just because I just want to see him get laughed at on a TV show. I have Cien Lim as Greg. Think about it. Think about it. It's not that bad. And then I have arguably the best working actor in the industry right now, John Arcilia as Tom. The age difference there between Tom and Shiv, I know. Kind of hard to put together. But I really wanted him on the show, so I have him there. And that's my Pinoy Succession. Let me know if you like the 90s version or the 2021 version more. And send me your casting. I'm excited to see what you guys have for how you would cast the Pinoy version of Succession. That's it for the episode, folks. Thanks a lot for joining and supporting the pod. Happy New Year once again. Happy 2022. I'd be remiss to end this without saying stay safe. Stay indoors. Stay with your family. Keep your bubbles absolutely tight to a household. You know, none of this, oh, you know, I'm going to my parents' house. It's the same family. So, no, that's a different bubble. Stay in your home, in your domicile. Stay in your residence. And, you know, if there are people that you love who are not in that residence, then, you know, I'm sorry. Just kind of wait it out. Stick it out. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated. Get boosted. And, you know, good luck and prayers for everybody who need to go out and who need to get stuff done outdoors. But thanks, and I'll see you guys soon. And I appreciate everybody who continues to support the podcast. And here's to more episodes in 2022. Be safe. See you guys soon. Bye-bye.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep it real in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet because I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip. Flying out another tree.